Melech Wasser.
Thank you. I stand to nominate Honorable Musa Chabane to be the chairperson of the meeting.
Mr. Chabane has been nominated. Any seconder? Mr. McGlure?
Yeah, Chair, seeing that Honorable Chabane has led us previous times as well, I'll second that.
Mr. Medluva has seconded the nomination. Any other nomination? No. Oh, okay. They want to see the nominee and also if he accept the nomination.
Chair, accept the nomination.
They want you to stand so that they can see you. So, Mr. Chabane, you have been duly elected the acting chairperson. If you can come and start with the meeting.
Thanks, morning, colleagues. We are going to receive a presentation on MDB, Municipal Management, Municipal Demarcation Board, to brief the committee, and we'll interact from that point with the report or the presentation. I'll welcome. I'm not sure. I think the Municipal Demarcation Board will outline whether they are the full complement to present to the committee, or I see it's only one member, but we have to continue. We'll start with the introductions. My name is Musa Chabane. I'm a member of this committee. I'll request honorable members to introduce themselves. Then I will invite MTP to run introduction. Thanks.
Chairperson, my name is Musi Walikot. I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you.
Didi Malolo Kwase, a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chair. Asnat Mulekwe, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Jerome Marke, a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Joe McLua. I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Angel Kanyile. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
My name is Edma Tunsi. I'm the committee secretary.
Adam Salmon, content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, everyone. Nandi Pamakakwana, committee assistant.
Good morning, honorable members. Umay Kilzon, the study group secretary.
Good morning, honorable members. Sabela Smanda, researcher, PAC.
Good morning, chair, committee members. My name is Senzo Zondi, parliamentary officer, deputy minister of home affairs.
Good morning, chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. I'm Dr. Karisti Kavuro. I'm from PMG.
Thank you, Municipal Demarcation Board. You'll introduce. I think also you must take us into space, the composition of your team, if you are alone. We are running the Municipal Demarcation Board alone. I think you must indicate. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Mtoto Sigiti. I'm the CEO of the Demarcation Board. I was supposed to come with the Chairperson of the Board. He was invited by the Minister to the MINMEC of COCTA. Normally, we attend the Minmecos Cocktail, being myself and the chairperson, because all the other members are part-time. So he decided that he will go there, but also to attend the UCLG conference, a summit that is happening in KZN for the whole week. They started on Sunday with the Minmec. And I will explain a little bit further when I go to the composition of the board in terms of the members of the board that are in there. Honorable Chair, if you allow, let me proceed to...
Okay, I think we'll invite you for... can I establish if the apologies should be recorded? I'll start on the table.
I've got an apology from the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, and then also I think there will be this another apology from Mr. Muelo as well, and the chairperson who I said no is outside of the country.
Any apologies from members? If there's any.
Honorable Adrian Ross. He has phoned in, and it seems that he will not be able to make it for this meeting. Apologies for him.
Any other apologies? Okay, noted. We will now invite MDP. There were issues which I think were observed during our oversight, which were raised also with the IEC in relation to your work, and I think after the presentation members will raise again some issues which are not covered on the report. We'll invite you to give a brief presentation, and members will interface with the presentation. Thanks, Mr. Skit.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. indeed, we had a meeting with of the technical IMC on elections, and I was duly informed by the chief electoral officer that the committee would like to meet with the demarcation board, which I informed the chair accordingly, and we agreed that immediately we get the invite, we will be able to come and address the committee. When I sent the presentation 2 weeks ago, this slide was not there. It is just indicating the composition of the board. On the top left is the chairperson of the board, Thabo Manyoni, and then the deputy chairperson, Mbali Mieni, and Jane Tubana, Albert Kekesi, Advocate Napula Mtuhelo, Rita Belfriend Nakedin, Temba Duazana, Matthew Mwoki, David Muhale, and Namso Badiso. They are 10 in number in terms of what the Act provides, but it's only one member that is full-time, is the chairperson. All the other members are part-time, so they only go to particular areas at the deployment of the chairperson. At the moment, to make our work a little bit easier, Mbali Mieni, who is also a deputy chairperson, is responsible for KZN. Jane Tubana, who is the former chairperson, is responsible for Limpopo. Albert Kekesi is responsible for Northern Cape. Advocate Mutuhelwa is responsible for Gauteng. Krita Kolofren Nakedin is responsible for Western Cape. Temba Duvazana is responsible for Mpumalanga. Matthew Mwoki is responsible for Northwest. Dr. David Mohale is responsible for Free State. And Namso Baliso is responsible for Eastern Cape. This slide I will jump because it's just indicating that this board was appointed by the President from the 1st of March this year. And the other matters, that's just matters that the board was established in 1999, and we celebrated the 20th of demarcation in February this year. Now, broadly, the mandate of the board is the four areas that are indicated there. One is determination of municipal outer boundaries. The second one is the delimitation of municipal ward boundaries, which is the focus of today. And the third one is the assessment of municipal capacity to perform their functions. And then the last one is rendering advisory services to stakeholders. Now, as a form of introduction, we are supposed to delimit wards in metros and local municipalities every five years for electoral purposes. And the process must ideally be completed within a period of 10 months. I'll indicate the reasons why we normally say before the elections we need to have finalized the delimitation of wards in a period of 10 months to allow for the IEC to deal with the preparations for the local government election. Now, in terms of the background, before we start with the delimitation of wards, the MDB must first complete the outer boundary determination. And in that regard, we did finalize the outer boundary determinations in 2018. What had happened in 2016 around December, the old board decided that for the last cycle of redetermination, outer boundary redetermination, they are not necessarily going to do major redeterminations, but they will just focus on technical alignment of some of the boundaries that were not that were found not to be aligning. And at the moment, the board took a resolution that they are determining a sort of a time frame to say we are not going to deal with the outer boundary determinations in this period, but we will only focus on ward delimitations. But I will also indicate, Honorable Chair, that we have received more than 17 applications for outer boundary determinations. And we have put those on hold until after the 2021 local government elections, after which we will be looking at those. We do our delimitation of wards after we have consulted with the IEC. Now, the prerequisites of the process that follow each other is...
Chairperson? Just clarification, what does outer boundary mean?
Outer boundaries, we mean the boundaries of the municipalities on the outer boundaries, not ward delimitation, because wards are internal within a municipality. Now, if, for instance, I give an example, you have the boundary of Collins Tavern and Turamel. Those boundaries are outer boundaries. So we are not touching that. We will only touch the internal boundaries, which is the ward boundaries within each and every municipality. The process, how it works, is that the IEC first must provide the segment of the National Common Voters Roll, after which the Minister of COCTA will determine the formula for the number of councillors, followed by MECs for local government in each province who determine the number of councillors of each municipality in the respective provinces. Once the MECs have done that, we come in as the MDB to then say, for instance, if one municipality, I will take an example of, let's say Mwate is having 100 councillors, so we divide by two and then we get the number of wards, 50% of which will be ward councillors, and then 50% will be proportional representation. Then the MDB will then determine the norm for each every municipality. I will explain that in the next few slides. This is just the broad process that we have. I've talked to it a little bit. We completed the outer boundaries and handed over to the IEC in August 2018, which was last year. Now, In 2019, those are the activities of 2019 that are in the second block there. I'll come back to that 2019. After that 2019, we are going to deal with the draft awards and conduct public participation. And in 2020, we are supposed to complete the awards and hand them over to the IEC for the AEC to arrange the local government election. Now, this is the process that I was referring to. The block that is in gray is the IEC providing that segment of the national voters' roll. And then the minister determines the formula for the number of councillors. And the yellow part is the MECs determining the number of councillors in each and every municipality in their respective provinces. Now, MECs are allowed to deviate from the minister's formula by 10% if the number of councillors that have been determined are above 30, or by 3 councillors if they are less than 30. Now, the deviation can be above or below. But in terms of the provisions of the Structures Act, you're not allowed to deviate downwards if a municipality has 7 councillors. You can only deviate upward. After that particular process, then the demarcation board will start its own processes of determining the norm, and I'll elaborate on it later. And after that process, then we submit the results to the IEC. Now, in terms of all those processes, the status as of now is that in March, the IEC provided the certified voters' roll. And then the Minister of COCTA published the formula for the number of councillors for the different categories of municipalities on the 5th of July. All MECs for local government have published the formula for their respective provinces after considering deviations and provided for in the Structures Act. And as the MDB, we have determined the norm for each and every municipality in the country. Then we are currently also configuring some more. Now the next slide is just giving you the trends in terms of what has been happening since 2000 until 2016. And in terms of the formulas that have been published, what will be happening in 2021, the yellow part. Now if you look from 2000 up to 2021, you will realize that at the bottom where we are talking about all the number of wards, there has been a corresponding increase in the number of wards. That is because there is also a corresponding increase in the number of registered voters. You will see in 2000 it was 18 million, and now in 2021 it's 26 million. So you can be able to make a comparison of all the provinces in terms of whether MECs have deviated or not deviated. If you look at 2016 and 2021, you will realize that only 2 provinces did not deviate from the formula of the minister. It was Gauteng. If you look at Gauteng, it's 529 and 529. And the implication thereof, I will talk to it later. And the other province that did not deviate was Mpumalanga. If you look at Mpumalanga, you will realize that it was 400 and it's still 400 in terms of what the MEC published. So it therefore means that those 2 provinces are the ones that did not deviate from the norm based on what the Act provides. The net effect of the formula that has been published has resulted in an increase in the number of wards from 2016 by 76 wards. And that is mainly in KZN and in Northern Cape. This is just a comparison for each province in terms of how the trend has been moving over the from 2000 up to 2017. Now, as the board, the new first chairperson, they said we need to be engaging every other stakeholder in the country in terms of how the ward limitation process happens. That was immediately after he had realized that in quite a number of forums, when we were talking about the demarcation issues, quite a number of stakeholders did not necessarily understand these matters, and then they come later when you have already finalized the determination or the delimitations, and then they come and say, no, but we didn't want to be in this particular area, we wanted to be in this particular area. So we have engaged with the Portfolio Committee on COGTA. We have engaged all the PINIMACs in the country. We have engaged the National House of Provincial Traditional Leaders and the Provincial Houses of Traditional Leaders. We are only having two that are outstanding, which is Mpumalanga and Northern Cape. Fortunately, Mpumalanga will be engaged on the 14th, which is Thursday. We have also engaged with the SALGA structures, especially your PMAs, Provincial Members Assembly, where the, in a particular province, all the mayors and the speakers of that particular province convene, and then we have engaged with those. We have also engaged with the several party liaison committees and structures. We are going to be engaging with the national one on the 20th of this month. We have also engaged the NCOP in Limpopo and Northern Cape, where we were invited, this was the invitation, we were invited to make a presentation on the water delimitation processes. We have also engaged some communities, and in certain instances, the chairperson has agreed to go specifically to a political party and address the political party. The one that sent out was an invitation by the EFF in Free State, where he went and he presented how the water delimitation process works. Now, in terms of the challenges that come up with the delimitation process, generally we find that there is lack of understanding of the water delimitation process by critical stakeholders, by communities, and I will illustrate a little bit around what I mean by this misunderstanding, but I will elevate two critical areas where I realize that even those people that we thought are understanding it could not understand. The increasing number of wards in certain instances and the changing of ward boundaries disrupts municipal planning. In certain instances or in certain municipalities, they use wards as planning units. Now you will find that when a particular space is now said to be a different ward, some people will say, but we were having a plan here for the housing development project. Now, does that mean that the ward has changed? That should not be the case, because when you plan a housing project, you plan a housing project within a space. Not because of the configuration of the ward, because the configuration of ward is more a scientific issue and a number technical issue, more specifically, Honorable Chair. Now, some of the concerns that we have heard is that some of the communities don't prefer to be interrupted. They want to remain in a particular space. The classical example is the one in Denver, Austin. They don't understand the issue of the norm. They think that when you determine them, you need to determine them in a particular space, and they don't want to hear anything beyond that. Some of the wards, they do split communities. In some instances, people are complaining that why do you use registered voters and not population? We have engaged with the IEC, and we have agreed with them that the use of registered voters at the present moment is the only tool that will allow us to not to have serious challenges. In certain instances, due to the large size of some settlement, it is not always possible to delimit them into a single ward. This is one example of Hillbrook. Maybe, Honorable Chair, if I can just indicate to Honorable Members that when we present in various provinces, we use maps of those specific provinces, because then people understand that in my area, these are the maps in the specific area. So this example is the example of Hillbrow. You will see that Hillbrow is straddling five different wards. And the reason is very simple, is because of the norm. Because the norm, if you deviate from the norm, you need to deviate by 15%. And if it is more than 15%, then that ward is considered not a legal ward. But I will illustrate how we configure a ward. Some wards vary in spatial size and extent due to the density of voters. Areas with low voter density have bigger wards. We have a classical example in Northern Cape in the David Kaper municipality. One ward is bigger than the city of Joburg. It is because in that area you don't have the number of registered voters that forms a norm in a densely populated area. So you may understand how this affects issues of public participation, because if a ward councillor has to be commuting in an area that is bigger than the city of Joburg, and in certain instances they speak of the province of Gauteng, it becomes very difficult. Now this is an example where if you look at this ward City Deep, which is ward 57, compared to ward 63 in Hillbrow, in cross-sectional area, the ward 63 in Hillbrow is very small. It's where the arrow, the green arrow, is pointing at the top there, but look at City Deep at the bottom where the arrow is pointing. It's very vast. So we are just showing that sometimes this issue of the settlement patterns and the density of a particular area may make the ward to be very small or may make the ward to be very big. Now, this is very important, Honorable Chair, in terms of the principles of ward configuration, because we add this to the criteria for ward delimitation. And the reason it is very important is that when leaders are assisting communities or municipalities to come to the board and say, this ward, we don't want this ward to be configured this way, we want a submission to be based on the principles. So what has been happening in the past, you find that a community or a municipality says, we don't want to belong to this ward, and then they put a full stop. So the board has to look at these particular principles. The first one is more the principle that we use around voting districts as building blocks. We use voting districts that we get from the IEC as building blocks for a ward. And those voting districts, when we group them together, they must create a contiguous ward. We don't want a situation where you find this ward is here, but you pass another community that is not in this ward and it is on the other side. So that is what we mean by a contiguous ward. There must be a continuous arrangement that from this voting district, they are forming a complete ward. And one of the other issues that MDB tries as far as possible not to split a voting district. Now, earlier on I indicated that I will give the reason why we need to provide this information to the IEC almost 10 months before the election. Because there are certain instances where you will find that it was impossible for the MDB using the norm not to split a voting district. Now, if a voting district has been split, then the IEC will sit with the IEC, will say, okay, out of the number of wards that we are having, 4,468, 220 of the wards, we have districts that have split, so that they can come in and then they do a public participation process in that particular space. The last principle is that the boundaries that are created must be identifiable using features like rivers, mountains, valleys, etc. Now, this is the criteria that is in the Structures Act. We normally have to use the norm. So when you say you don't want the ward to be in a particular, to be arranged in a particular way, you need to understand what is the norm of this particular municipality, so that when you bring in that particular issue to the board, they are able to consider it. We need to avoid as far as possible the fragmentation of communities, and we need to understand that the issue of wards is basically to enhance a participatory democracy, and the other criteria is that there are availability and location of a suitable space or places for communication and accessibility, density of population, topography, and the physical characteristics, the number of voters that are entitled to vote within the required time frame, and the creation of wards that can be identifiable. Now, how do we then go about configuring wards? In that process, when the IEC has given the segment of the voters' roll, and the minister and the MECs have done published the formula for the number of councillors, then the MDP calculate the norm for all the municipalities in the country, because each municipality will have a different norm. Now, the norm, we divide the number of registered voters in that municipality by the number of wards in that municipality. That is what the norm is. Now, the example there is just an arbitrary example of a municipality with 20,000 registered voters and 20 wards, to make it very simple for members to understand. So our norm in that particular case would be 1,000. Now, we are allowed to deviate from the norm by 15%, above or below, which therefore means that if you have that particular municipality, anything between 850 and 1,150 will constitute a legal ward. This is just an example of that particular one in terms of forming a contiguous ward. Now, if you look at we are having those voting districts. On the right-hand side, I'm just showing the voting district and the number of registered voters per voting district. If you look at voting district 1, we have 170 registered voters. So we add all of those, and when we come to the total there, you'll find it's 1,105. Now the question, is it between 850 and 1,150? If we say yes, then it means that ward is a legal ward. If it goes beyond, that ward is not a legal ward. It means, therefore, that we need to take one community out of that particular ward to another ward. In certain instances, you will need to cut the voting district or to split a voting district.
Is there any other presentation?
I just wanted to ask, would it be best to wait for the presenter to finish, or can we ask along the way, because I'm getting lost here and there?
I think that's the standard way of doing things.
But it's definitely losing me.
No, let's
I don't understand something, and as he continues, I get totally lost.
No, it's towards finishing up. Let's note the whether frustration will empower the question.
Okay.
Where a member is, the frustration will definitely empower the question. That so just note where you're frustrated. If it's page 1, confused, just write confused, and then we'll.
I will definitely.
You will note it, then we'll, I will request either Honorable McClure or.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm only left with three slides. This is just the broad plan of what we have done. All the things that I've mentioned, up to the yellow part, we have dealt with all those. I think what is important is on number 5, what we have done in the whole country now. We have configured all the wards. We have been meeting with all the GIS and planning officials of all the municipalities in the country, out of which we have now configured the wards of each and every municipality in the country. There were, out of the engagement that we have been having with all the municipalities. There were 23 municipalities that didn't turn up on the technical side of things. And I have written to all of them to say we have configured the wards for even those municipalities that didn't turn out, for them to make a comment between now and December, so that we go to the number six there, because number six will be going with the first draft of wards for public consultation, which is February up to April. After that, it will publish the second draft of wards for objections in May 2020. Now, that is very important because, remember I mentioned the principles and the criteria. So if you are objecting, you need to indicate in terms of the principles and the criteria that this ward does not live up to this particular principle and doesn't live up to this particular criteria. Then the board can consider that. The unfortunate part is that in terms of the Act, Honorable Chair, is that we only publish for 14 days for objections. That is why we have given people enough time now to engage. We even said to municipal politicians to be involved when we were drafting the first set of wards that we have just finalized at the end of this month. After that, we'll consider the board will consider the objections in June, and then number 10 there will publish all the wards in July 2020, and in August 2020 we'll be handing over to the IEC for the IEC to prepare for the local government election. Now, in conclusion, we just encourage special leaders to engage with this particular process. I said earlier that in the engagement with various stakeholders, there were two critical things that came out, Chairperson. One, I was in the city of Joburg. The speaker in the city of Joburg did not know why we are using a certified voter's roll from IEC, because they thought they have a ward that is even having a number of registered voters that are more than the norm that we have determined. So we indicated that the reason why we use a certified voters roll that has been given to us by the IEC in March is for us to be able to determine the norm. But we don't stop the processes of the IEC to register voters, because the IEC process is continuous. And therefore, if you are going to determine the number of registered voters at the tail end, you will find that the number of voters are bigger than the norm. The second question that we got from City of Joburg, but also in other stakeholders, were people asking us to increase the number of councillors. We got that in City of Joburg. They say increase the number of councillors from 270. But we said that is what the Act provides. The maximum number of councillors in a metro is 270, and in the country it's only the city of Joburg that have reached that maximum, 270. We had one municipality in Northwest, Rustenburg to be exact. When the MEC published 91, we had to advise him to say it should be 90, because that is the maximum that is allowable by the law. Thanks, Chair.
No, thanks, Mr. Sigidi, for a detailed brief. I think we've tried this best, Honorable Maki, to detail. And I think, Honorable McLugo, you've taken counsel that the Speaker of Joburg is not appreciated the understanding on the matter.
Not only him.
It's coming from the presentation. I'm just in passing that you have taken counsel. We're going to invite members to interact with the presentation. Where there is no proper clarity, I think Mr. Sigit is here. He will go into details. I will recognize the hands first set to Honorable JJ, Honorable Lukwase, Honorable McLuf, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I was told to write an exam about the presentation, I would definitely fail. I would definitely fail. You see, the first thing, the norm, getting very lost about the norm. In slide number 21, it shows that the words are not linked to the voters in some way, because there's already 20 words. It means the words are already there. That's where I was saying I'm getting lost. I thought you would have to check how many people are there, and then that together with maybe geographical and so on, determine where you establish a what. But seemingly the what is established outside the communities that are there. That's where I was saying I'm getting lost. If I was to give an example, my village in Shuluwa, the what was done geographically using the mountains and the rivers. So that word would stretch from Shulubane up to Hennesberg, which doesn't make any sense. There's no road that goes from Shulubane to Hennesberg. You've got to pass Linyenye municipality, Nkwankwa municipality, Tsanen municipality before you reach Hennesberg. If you use, that's the way it was at first. So that's why I'm saying I'm getting lost here. Or how then do you do that? I missed that point. Do you say we've got so many registered voters in here, then we can make a what here? And you know, besides that, the calculations, I don't know how the MECs calculate that. A very painful thing with our what in my village. The name of the branch is Musa Chabani, because he died, not you. And then that municipality is cut in such a way that the family is now outside. It's emotional. It's outside that word. You see, that's why I was saying some of these things. I don't know where do you consult and so on. I mean, your norms and your calculations might be right, but for us, the name of the family is outside the what. So I'm not sure if you understand that. If I could get what this norm is all about, or if it's not aligned to the number or the population, and then what are we talking about? That's why I was saying I'm getting very, very lost. Because if it's only you go and draw, and then you check according to the calculation, and you have, is it possible to have a million in one word and 850 in another word? That's why I'm saying I'm getting totally lost. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mark, just on your point of municipalities you've mentioned, so that it must not confuse the Mr. Siddiq. I observe you've mentioned Nkwankwa municipality and Linyenye municipality.
Not municipalities, let's say what?
Yeah, I wanted to be on record so that okay. We don't confuse the what I know. I think there's, if I'm still correct, there's only Tsanen municipality.
That's correct.
So if you can just correct that so that what
Okay, if I said municipalities, then it's, I need to correct. I was referring to wards. You go through a lot of wards before you reach there. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Hassan.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to know on slide 12, what might be the reason for the declining of wards in the Northwest between 2016 and 2021? The other question I have is, how often do you get an updated record with SSA before starting with the process as you prepare for the next coming elections? The other one is, now that you notice that the boundaries may disrupt the planning of the municipalities, what is it that you as the demarcation board doing to avoid such disruptions?
McClure,
yeah,
we'll end up with a...
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And what Honorable Marke is saying is that, you know, on several occasions we have asked that there must be a kind of a format when there's reporting, and I think that is where the confusion lies. Now, I want to specifically speak to the speaker of Gauteng, which you rightfully asked me to take note. In previous reports by this board, there is a misalignment, not with individuals, with communities. And I think that is the problem that we need to address. Firstly, by their own admission, it was this board at some time informed this committee that they have no footprint in some of the provinces. That is the misalignment when it comes to their work. If you speak about what is happening in communities, the Matatiela case, and I want to take us to the Ventersdorp JB Marks case. The role that this board has played in that. Now, you find that you have Ventersdorp Municipality, who is not financially viable. It was not financially viable at all, and that's a given. The JB Marks Municipality was financially viable. These two towns or municipalities has been combined. It led to a total disaster, always resulting in the whole of the municipalities now not viable. And yes, we may have our political input here and say it's politically motivated, but who gain out of this process? That is what we need to define. Yes, a political party may be in terms of votes, but financially we are a bankrupt community in the JB Marks municipality. Who benefits from all of this? If you look what is happening with this demarcation. And I appreciate the fact that it's been mentioned that communities have been taken on board. But if you look what has happened in Carltonville, in all these municipalities, and I like the fact that provision has been made whereby people say, no, we block the creation of wards. But it falls on deaf ears, Chairperson. And maybe it is not a culprit in front of us. It is a collective thing to hoards, all together with the minister. And if we can go and have some sort of analysis, and I don't know whether us as a body, while having the demarcation board here, is allowed to come and to perhaps ask the presenter to give us a report on the issue on that Honorable Marke has mentioned. And perhaps let's take Matatiela or let's take JB Marks, the administrative cost. And some of it, you know, goes along with legal cost. And that is the problem that we have. And if you talk about demarcation board, you know, everyone's political clause is just coming out like that. And we know to a greater extent they are doing what they are supposed to do and all of this. Now, we must go into detail as far
as the role of the demarcation board is concerned, the fact that what is the long-term benefits that communities get out of this? And I can tell you, Chairperson, there is just no way that we as communities are gaining out of this process, because we are getting more and more buildings who are burned down by communities that is unhappy. You go to Ventersdorp, where I come from, northwest, Klaagsdorp, you'll find that people are unhappy. But we all went there and the demarcation has been done and we left and still there's no proper service delivery. The comrades are eating one another as far as the unhappiness is concerned on this. I also want some further explanation on the same as my colleague has asked on the number of hordes and the question on the Northwest. I think it was mentioned that you are allowed to do 3. But if you look at Northern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal and Free State, it seems like, if I understand it right, that they far exceed the councillors that they wanted to add as far as this is concerned. So the question that Honorable Marke or concern that he has raised might also be seen similar to the Natal and Gauteng in terms of their population and more in Natal than in Gauteng, perhaps if there's also explanation on the situation in that relating to what Honorable Marke has mentioned. Thank you. That's all for me so far, Chair.
Okay, I'll take Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Malekwa, and the last will be Honorable Gota. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. Looking at the presentation, there's a point here that refers to ward awareness campaigns for public and stakeholders. It has been conducted from November 2018. The question that I have is that how many areas have they been to already, or how many areas have been covered? And also looking at the presentation, it is also indicated that KZN has 909 wards and Gauteng has 529 wards. And the population for KZN is 10 million and Gauteng just above 12 million. I want to know that why there are more wards in the KZN when Gauteng has a larger population. I also want to find out the criteria that is used when they are creating the wards. The reason I'm asking this question, I think you will remember, Chairperson, when we had our oversight, I also asked this question at the IEC meeting, and they said MDB is the proper structure to actually address my question. In Ligwa municipality, you have a ward that is in Ward 4. Ne? That ward consists of Meyerville and Enyogeni. So Meyerville is your developed area, while Enyogeni is your informal settlement area. I just want to know what criteria do you use, because if you combine these two diverse communities, I feel like it's going to have an impact in terms of planning for the service delivery as well as the budget purposes. Because as a result, even currently, when they are going to, the municipality is going to hold the IDP meetings, they can't put them all under one roof, because Inyogen is on the other side of TLC. I think you travel about 5 or 7 kilometers from TLC to get to Meyerville. So that is how wide the ward is. And we also have another ward. It is in Ward 8 in Ligwa municipality. It consists of Cosmos Park, Ifloro Park, and the Extension 8. The other two areas that I have mentioned, the Cosmos Park and the Floral Park, are your developed areas.
maybe when they have needs of service delivery, could be the your potholes or inconsistent water supply. While in the extension 8 is the newly constructed RDP houses area that does not have proper infrastructure. They don't have a sewer plant, they don't have electricity, they have quite a lot of challenges. So I just want to find out that if you have a ward like that, don't you think that it will have an impact on service delivery, considering that their needs, they are different, and their budget food is also not going to be the same. And when it comes to prioritizing their needs, don't you think that at some point the other group may be more prioritized than the other? Thank you.
Honorable Maliko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. My question is that to what extent do the MDB undertake the process of public participation as part of participatory democracy? And on that, how do you determine your output that indeed you have really achieved your objective? I'm asking this question because in one of the municipalities, most of the community members in a particular ward were not informed whether they had been taken out from their residing ward to another ward until there was a by-elections and other political parties raised the issue of people who are not residing in that ward will not vote. So that has got a negative implication because that what most of the communities were not willing to vote because they were sure that they were residing in that ward. More than plus minus 500 people were taken out from that ward because the demarcation board has not done its work in terms of making sure that communities are aware that they are not residing in this ward until the by-election were held. So my question is that, how many objections were raised to the Municipal Demarcation Board, and how were these objections were addressed? The next one is that, how do you determine the ward without disadvantaging communities who are residing next to the BD? Because this thing has also a potential of voter turnout. Because if a person is residing next to the BD, and according to the demarcation, he's had to vote, to go a long distance to go to vote. So that person will just stay and say, I'm not going to vote because I have to go a long distance, whereas I'm residing next to the voting district. So in terms of the criteria of enhancing participatory democracy, is there any evidence on the extent which unfavorable changes in demarcation may negatively impact over turnout for winter? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Kota.
Commissioner, I must confess that I feel very sorry for this gentleman. And I feel very sorry for you, and I feel sorry for myself. You see, all of us are trying to understand the question that Comrade Mike raised is a question that arises for all of us. Now, we run our discussion in a manner that I think is not helpful. Some of us must be able to answer and explain some aspects just to contribute to the effort of the man who's trying to educate us. Where you have to do that, you must do that. I don't know how we can do that. Let me give you an example, Chair. South Africa has got plus 50 million people. When we want to make wards, we must take into account that. Now, then we say a ward will be, let us say, 500 people, for argument's sake. Or 5,000 people. Some of these people stay in the countryside. Some of them stay in a small town called Pofadder. Others live in Soweto. Now you must look at Soweto and break it into 5,000, 5,000, 5,000, 5,000. But the moment you leave Soweto and you go to the Northern Cape, you will find three people here. And another 50 kilometers away, you will find maybe 15. And then you find that. Now, if you are going to consider a ward of 5,000 in an area like Northern Cape, you will find that it's so big, but it must have that number of people. Because why? That is what we have decided a ward must consist of. It don't matter what their name is. It don't matter whether they are white, tall or short. They must constitute one. And that is the problem that the market is raising. But now you make a ward, and some of the people are so many kilometers away, and others are here, and others are there. So if you go through the country, you'll find all these varied conditions which are like that. And what I wanted to explain, the first thing I wanted to explain only, is that when we say we are talking about a norm, we are talking about a decided issue that 5,000 is a ward. So a councillor, you can't have one councillor for a village of 15 people, 15 families. So you want to have a councillor in Soweto representing the same number or almost the same number as a councillor in the Northern Cape or the Free State or something like that. So that is when you look at those things we're talking about as norms, we must try and apply them in practical situations. So it's not helpful to say in Malamulele it's like this, because Malamulele is not like Cape Town. Because there on the Cape Flats, there's huge concentrations of people there. So that is, a norm is something that we agree must be that number, let us say. It must be so. So if that is a norm, because you see, you must remember that we must pay the councillors. If you are going to pay the councillors, it's determined that they must be paid so much money. So that money must apply to all of them, but the conditions they must change and they must help the people are not the same as the conditions elsewhere. That's why they make this variation of either more than the number decided, 15% more or 15% less. But as a general rule, because population is always increasing, you'll find that you have to generally accommodate a higher number. Then there's a third element. Not all the citizens, Comrade Mark, this is another difficulty that confronts us. We are now the politicians, we must make the law. Not all the people who are entitled to vote go and register to vote. So now what happens is, because this is MDB, they go and ask for the registered voters roll. And now they are going to determine the number of wards based on the number, not which is the actual population number, but who are registered. Now that complicates the thing now. Because the people who are in Malamulele, if they are not registered, you are not counting them. You may have to take people that are outside of Malamulele to add to this number again. And that's where these questions that you are raising, and even a member is raising, that's where those questions arise. Hey, man, this variable creates this norm and abnormal. Norm and abnormal. Normal and abnormal. it will be normal in Soweto because the concentration of numbers is like that, you can do this. But once you go out of there, it becomes abnormal because the people are so scattered and all of that. Without taking too much time, Chairperson, my point is that I think that we must try, instead of comrades just firing questions at one person, we must make contributions of what we think we can assist in terms of explanation. And then, of course, ask this gentleman also to explain some of the things which we cannot quite appreciate. The norm is the thing that we are agreed. It must be, a ward must be 500. The ward, by the way, must be inside the municipal boundaries. That's why you are saying that a municipal, don't interfere with the outer boundary. However, you may find that although there's been a determination that the ward of, say, Johannesburg, the councillors there must be so many. Now, but the voters don't justify that number because others have registered, others have not registered. And this is where now you find some of the people who are in this ending up ultimately to have to vote outside where they are supposed to be in and so on. So those issues, I mean, we can only point them out and say, well, something's got to be done about it. And we've got to get the people to understand this process, these difficulties that arise, so that people then can understand that there's no cheating necessarily. It's that simply that it is not, you cannot do it in any other way other than to do it in this way. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think, Honorable God, we must not feel sorry for him. No, of course, we are here to interact with the process which we ourselves have make rules on. And I think our questions assist us to understand so that we're able to contribute to enhance the discussion. We have covered, you have noted all the questions, I think, which also relate with the state's essay, how we reconcile with the population register and the IEC. So you'll try to navigate all the issues that have been raised so that we go to a second session of contributions of members where they want to contribute. Thanks, Mr. Stick.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think I appreciate the questions, and I could see that Honorable Likota was feeling pity for me, and I realized that the Honorable Chair doesn't feel pity for me. In fact, Honorable Chair, all the questions that have been raised are questions that we have encountered in all the stakeholders that I have indicated we have been interacting with. And it then said to me and the Chairperson that, look, let's look at the mechanism of how do we address some of these particular matters. But as I will be responding, I will even give you some of the challenges that are internal to the organization. We tried to navigate around them, but as we are all aware that the economy is not really working, we were unable to get some funding that we had requested for enhancing issues of public participation. Honorable Marke, all the issues that you have raised are not new. We are aware of that. I could give you an example of when we were in the city of Joburg, one councillor said, it was last week, he says, you see, I'm sitting here in the bedroom, my wife is in the kitchen, but the kitchen is in another ward, and the bedroom is in another ward. And in other instances, if you go to the mall in next to the airport, the parking is in the city of Joburg, the mall is in Ekurhuleni. Now, I said with a tongue in cheek, I said, you know, Honorable Councillor, maybe it is very good that your wife should be in another ward and you are in another one so that you don't fight. But the reality is that it has an impact on other municipal issues like your property rates, because if you determine the property rate of the city of Joburg could be different from the Ekurhuleni. But the issue you're raising is more around the signs. I said to the minister 2 weeks ago that demarcation is a science because it's a numbers game. It doesn't have any issue around politics on it. Because the act that Parliament has approved for us is saying use this particular formula, and where you find that there is a question where the topography of the area is problematic, you can use the deviation. But that deviation is also 15%, it cannot be more. That is the reason why sometimes you will find that, I think Honorable Lekota touched the issue of the vastness of the area. I indicated on some of the challenges there. Because if your settlement patterns are sparse, it means in that area, the ward for that municipality, another ward will be huge. You saw when I was giving the example of Hillbrow and the other area, where the other area is huge in terms of spatial size because the number of registered voters there are very minimal. But that way in Hillbrow it is like this, it means the number of registered voters there at that space are fitting that particular norm. Maybe the correct analogy is that for each and every municipality, we have a different norm. They are not the same. Which is the reason why I was giving an example of the city of Joburg. The city of Joburg, in terms of registered voters, they have increased because of the inward migration from outside. But Joburg, you can't expand it anywhere because they've already reached the number of councillors that are 270. So whether you increase the number of people going there, the implication is that you will have an increased number of the norm will be more than any other municipality in the country because people are moving in. But in terms of the act that the parliament has promulgated, the maximum number of councillors is 270, which means that we divide by 2 and we get 135 wards. So we need to contain everybody in the 135 wards. So it is really an issue of the norm. But I don't want the committee to really worry too much, because after the 20 years, we did an analysis to say what are some of the challenges that emanated from demarcation in 20 years. And then we submitted to the previous parliament an amendment to the Demarcation Act. We submitted it in such a way that we also wanted the Structures Act to be amended. I know that we have been following up now. The current minister was saying they will be taking that to the committee, the COCTA committee, very soon. I was informed last week that it's now in the cabinet process. But some of the issues that we had proposed amendment was more to say, can we change the norm from 15% to 30%? I think that one could not be taken because they were feeling that in some other areas it would just be not feasible. Honorable Lihuase, on the declining number of wards in Northwest. You see, if you go to some municipalities, when we look at the voters' roll that has been given to us, you find that in a particular municipality, there has been a decline in the number of registered voters. And in fact, it's not an actual decline, it's just a matter of movement. Some people have moved to other areas. Now, when they move to other areas that is outside that municipal space, it therefore, the formula will give you a reduced number of councillors in that space. So that is normally the case. The issue of State South Africa, we don't use Statistics South Africa. We work with the IEC on the number of registered voters. You remember in one of the slides I was talking about, some people are saying, why don't you use population?
And when we engaged with the, we had a seminar last year with the IEC and some other professors from universities, and the IEC was saying, look guys, once you go and start using population, you will complicate our own processes because it will be very difficult. Maybe the other matter which I think is new in terms of the submission of Honorable Lekota is whether we should use cross-sectional area as a determinant for wards. The downside of it, or the unintended consequence of that, would be that if you are using a cross-sectional area, it might say in this cross-sectional area there are only three people, and you can't have a ward for three people, which then raises the question of the configuration of the two-tier system of local government. Whether the wall-to-wall municipality is working, or whether we should still go back to district management area, because in certain instances, those are some of the issues that happen. What is it that you did to ensure that there is no disruption, Honorable Request? You see, the challenge that we have as the board, I have only 10 officials that deals with issues of determination in the whole country. 10. Now, we then said to ourselves, let's put together, I'll include the question that was raised by Honorable Mulekwa on public participation. The previous board, around 2016, they realized that when we look at our partner, that is the IEC, they've got provincial presence. Demarcation doesn't have provincial presence, which therefore means that the kind of work that we do becomes so technical in nature that you don't know that the people who are giving you the information, like the Surveyor General, they don't know some of the movement of the people that have happened in a particular area. So when you determine, you are using the information that is coming from the Surveyor General. And then you find that some of the issues Honorable Mark is raising happens because we are sitting there, we are drawing, but we don't have a person at who understands the dynamics of a particular area. So then we then said, okay, let's bring in the offices of the speakers in all the municipalities in the country. So what we do, we write to all the speakers in the country to say, look, we want you to invite ward committees, ward councillors, political parties to come to this particular meeting, and we want to be talking. Firstly, last year in November, from November, I requested a little bit of funding from COCTA. They gave me 3.5 million. For public participation. That's how we ended up doing a few. And this 3.5 million cannot cater for all the municipalities in the country. So we then said, let's select those areas, those municipalities that are a little bit problematic, so that we can go to that particular space and say, yes, here there are these issues that are emerging, but let's educate them on how the ward is configured, and what are some of the challenges that cannot necessarily be resolved by the demarcation board, but is something that is practical within the confines of what the law provides. Honorable Chairperson, I can't spell correctly his name. You said Honorable Makuluva? Makuluva, okay.
Honorable
Makuluva.
Gulwa.
Okay, Honorable, let me say, Honorable, say, the issue of misalignment of communities, you're right. I've touched the issue of the footprint because I developed a strategy with the previous board called the regionalization strategy. I went to Treasury in around this time last year. They had promised that they can fund it around 34 million so that I can expand our footprint in various provinces. We were just saying we will have an office where we can say five people will be responsible for three provinces,
and then they will be working on a daily basis to understand the topography, the dynamics of that area, and all those kind of things. And then they promised me something about 34 million. In February, when the final allocation letter came, they said, no, unfortunately, we can't give you a cent. So that is the reality that I have, and I can't change that reality at the moment. You mentioned the issue of Matatiela, and I've been saying to the previous board when I joined the demarcation board in 2017 that we need to come up with a serious communication strategy to say to people, we are not responsible for provincial boundaries. Matatiela is a classical case of provincial boundaries. J.B. Marx, you are right. We have been we received a letter from a person in that area, that small area. What is the name of that? Fenderstorp. Now, when you look at the letter, you can see the letter is coming from a lawyer. Now, he says to us, but why did you determine the boundaries of Fenderstorp to J.B. Marx, Pochestrom? Now, when you look at the issue is not a demarcation issue. The issue is people who are in the municipal space do not understand arrangement of their service delivery boundaries. Because one thing that we do when we do municipal boundaries, although I know it's outside the ward delimitation process, it's more outer boundaries. Financial viability is one of the 12 factors of demarcation when you deal with outer boundaries. So we are not looking at financial viability. We are looking at issues of social cohesion. We are looking at issues of transport infrastructure. How are people transporting these things to each other? And the other issue is when you deal with these matters, that is why when you object for outer boundaries, it's more days than in ward boundaries, it's 30 days. But when the board in 2016 took a decision that let's stop and analyze the environment before we do major redetermination, it was because of some of those things. And honorable member, you remember that the matter of J.B. Marx was not necessarily an initiative of the board. It was a section 22.2. which is allowed in terms of the minister with, in consultation with all the MECs, can determine certain priorities for the board to deal. At that time, in 2015, the board had closed the issue of redetermination. I know because I was in court. But because the minister is allowed by law to do that, he did that. He gave the demarcation board around 90 municipalities. The board only looked at around 50. They didn't do all the 90. So those are some of the things that we need to consider. But I think the point I'm driving is that we have got 12 factors of demarcation outside metros, because metros, we've also used the Section 2 of the Structures Act. And those 12 factors are treated equally. Financial viability is just one of them. Incidentally, last week we had a seminar where the FFC was presenting. They also latched on the issue of financial viability, the chairperson of FFC. And then we indicated it's not about that. We were looking at the amalgamation of Lesedi to Mangaung and one at the Kakisan Umulopo in Northwest. We realized that that amalgamation is not working, and it's not because of the demarcation board, it's because of the municipalities themselves understanding that when you are doing amalgamation, there are six KRAs that you need to look at: HR, legal, communications, and all those kind of things. Most of them have not yet been done, and it is emanating from 2011. So I'm just saying that, honorable member, the issue of Carltonville and the issue of financial viability is just one, but one factor.
out of the 12 that are defined in Section 25 of the Demarcations Act. The issue of the number of councillors, I said, the MEC, once the minister has determined, MECs are allowed a deviation. But it depends on when you come to this municipality, let's say this municipality is called Sigidi and this one is called Chabane. If Sigidi municipality has more than 30 councillors, the deviation must be 10% above or below. So the MECs can go up or below. But if the municipality has less than 30 councillors, the deviation must be a specific number, three municipalities, not percentage. But if the municipality has seven councillors, you are not allowed to deviate downwards, you deviate upwards. So you will see that if you look at KZN, we have so many number of municipalities there. So the MEC deviated in some of the municipalities. And that is why the number of councillors that have been added now, ward councillors, is around 31. But if you look at the city of Joburg has around 12 municipalities. And one of the municipalities has already reached a maximum, which is the city of Joburg. If the MEC wanted to deviate, he could deviate to the rest of the municipalities, maybe not Mohale City, the rest of the metros, because they are still less than 270. But it is his decision. Once he has published and he has signed off, that's when we come in. So that matter of the deviation is more within the powers of the MEC. The issue of Natal and Gauteng, I wasn't so sure whether which Natal or is the same. Honorable Kanyile, how many areas have been covered? I don't want to lie under, is it under oath? Yeah, I don't want to lie. I don't have the number with me in terms of the number of areas that we have covered. I can send an information in terms of the number of municipalities that we have covered in terms of the previous public participation process, because we do have municipalities and areas that we have visited at that particular time. I think I answered the issue of KZN and Gauteng, why Gauteng has, although it has more registered voters, has less councillors than the KZN. KZN has a whole host of the number of municipalities. Recently, the MEC called me to say they want to disestablish one of the municipalities called Mpofana. I said, but we are not dealing with outside boundary determinations. So you can bring it after 2021, then we can look at it within the context of the criteria that is there. The criteria in terms of creating was, you talked about the New Kane Mayorville in Ligwa and Ward 8. The criteria is exactly what I put out there. First I said principles and then the criteria. But I also specifically indicated that as far as possible, we are not going to be cutting voting districts or cutting communities. The reason why we say as far as possible is because of the legislation that governs our process. Because in certain instances, it is practically impossible for us not to cut those things. And if it is practically impossible, we need to be able to cut that so that we reach the norm of a particular municipality. In terms of priorities, you also talked about a Cosmo area and the development area. That is more a municipal function. Incidentally, Honorable Chair was a municipal manager in a district. When we used to do this thing of public participation and the IDP referral, I categorized the IDP referral into one: critical stakeholders like your traditional leaders, your business forums first, and then you go to communities. But when you are doing the IDP correctly, it doesn't matter whether this area is fully developed or not fully developed. The area that is fully developed will mention area service delivery issues
that might not necessarily be in the area that is not developed. Now, if it is, it finds expression in the IDP and it is funded accordingly by the municipality, then there is no reason why the two spaces cannot be catered for within the context of how the municipality does its planning. Honorable Muliko, I think when you were out, I tried to capture some of the answers relating to the issue around how do we deal with public participation. Because of the resources within the MDB, we use the offices of the speakers for municipalities to assist us in calling upon ward committees, councillors, and all those kind of things. So we cannot guarantee that we will be able to touch. In fact, what we do is more representative democracy rather than going to each and every community, because it would be practically impossible for us to go to each and every community. But we believe that ward committees, CDWs, in that particular municipality will be representative of the aspirations of the communities that they are serving. And therefore, like I said earlier, I don't have the specifics in terms of how many municipalities we've gone to with me here, but we can indicate the number of municipalities that we have engaged. It will be the number of those municipalities that we have engaged, not necessarily the communities that you have indicated. In terms of the objections that have been raised, I have not checked the statistics in the 2016 local government elections, but in terms of the previous outer boundary determinations the one that we submitted to the IEC in 2018, there was no single objection that was raised on the outer boundaries, because we had consulted a number of areas. One area that we went to was Mama Klepa, and one other area in Eastern Cape where the communities were saying, we want, although you are not dealing with major redeterminations, but we want this ward to move into that area. Because that matter was a matter that was emerging from 2011, we were able to deal with that. The other one in Zimbabwe was more a correction, because somebody failed to indicate that this area is now moving to Buffalo City. So those are the areas that we have dealt with. The issue of the which is the last one, Honorable Chair, people not understanding the voting districts that they are currently in terms of whether they've moved to another ward. That is the reason why I was saying we need to be submitting the information 10 months before the actual election to the IEC. Then the IEC, when they go there, they explain to communities to say, look, this is the situation. But distance is a resistance, because we know it's correct. And I can't answer that question in a different way, because once you change, and you can see, the voting district is just here, but I'm now on the other voting district. It's a question of how do we, as leaders of parties, engage with these people, because that is one area that I don't have a solution at the moment on it, especially when we deal with issues of local elections. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks. For proper response. I think now we will have contribution to the issues and perhaps follow up on some of the areas that it is not clear on. I'll recognize hands. I'll start by Honorable Kanyile in that order. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know that when can the maps be available so that political parties can be able to scrutinize them, and also what will be the timeline for the inputs. My last question is that where will the maps be made available? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Mine is not a follow-up question, but I just want to raise a concern that if Mr. GD leaves here, to have on other platforms this kind of discussion. And you know, the surprising factor in this, it's like a fish, you can't catch it. You sit with IEC, IEC blames demarcation board. You sit with demarcation board, demarcation board said the minister was within his act, but one must remember that there is also a numerous act that empowers some of these organizations. So I just want to leave this with us. If you look at the amalgamation in the respective municipalities, and I want to use, because I'm coming from the Northwest, the Ventersdorp issue again, there are no measured results. There are no. And if any entity, the demarcation board, engage in some measuring on whether this amalgamation has yielded the desired fruits, it hasn't. That is a fact. And we can beat around the bush whether it's politically or what was the motives and all of that. I'm leaving us with another last question. And that question is, whether the objectives, in the case of J.B. Marks and Ventersdorp, whether the objectives of the Municipal Demarcation Act has been achieved? And it will be difficult answers to all of this. It will be difficult answers. I see I'm driving it. Most of the time I'm on WhatsApp groups in the Ventersdorp community, Collini community, J.B. Marks community, and every time before you travel, you must get on your WhatsApp group. Is the road open? Is the road closed? Because of this unhappiness of amalgamation. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I don't feel the objective of the presentation have been reached. You see, if you check slide number 20, you check the criteria. Avoid as far as possible the fragmentation of communities. Enhance participatory democracy. Availability and location of suitable place or places for voting. You see, according to the presentation, all of those things Mutoto means a baby in Swahili. he actually said these things are not implementable in what he presented. He said if a voting station is here, there's nothing he can do about it, which is against number 2. Enhance participatory democracy. He said he doesn't have money. 3 million, you could only see 1 or 2 people. That is not, it means it was not. You get to location, availability, suitable places. You see, all of those things. So, and according to me, when we specifically asked IEC, there are problems here. For instance, I gave an example of you take a village, a very poor village, and then you amalgamate it with a town. Then it means the village schools loses their quintiles, their quintiles are together with the town, which is higher. You see, there are problems here, and I don't see I didn't hear anything that answers up. All I heard was that it's in the law. That's all I heard. There's nothing we can do about it.
And people kill each other because of this. Matatiele, Malamulele. You go everywhere, there's a problem with this. So what actually are we saying here? Communication and accessibility, it's not there. Density of population is not working. Some are bigger, some are small. Topography and physical characteristics, exactly what I said. You are in Shulubane and you are supposed to go to. Number of voters that are in, it's not working. If we go to somewhere around Malamulele, we've got a community of Mozambicans. They might not be registered voters, but you must supply services to those people. And if you don't include them in your planning, what are you actually telling us? So this, according to me, there's nothing that is working here. If you don't include the population, then what are you actually saying? You must supply, if you must supply toilets there. And if you are to supply toilets, you are not supplying to registered voters. You are supplying the population in that area. And if you don't, you are against the constitution of this country. So your criteria is not working. It's out of this world. It's not practical with the situation that's what worries me. Thank you, Chairperson.
Any last bite? Honorable Kuta, I see you are.
I'm just reading
on record.
I'm sorry. I'm attracted by what Comrade Mackay is raising.
Honorable McLuhan? Honorable Kuta is on the platform. We request your attention.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Now, what I wanted to say, my dear comrades, I'm talking now to the members, honorable members. You know, we have a huge responsibility, not only to implement these things that are said here, which, as Honorable Mange is so accurately saying, and I'll illustrate why, are not immediately doable. But if you go into countries and societies less endowed than ours, you will still find men and women in the leadership of those communities putting their sights on doing things for communities isolated in the countryside and so on, collecting tax from those people to be able to do these things for the people. But, you know, our society, I want to say, is learning in a different way. Before we came to government, local government, because that's really where you do for the people. Local government, people that were stood for election to be elected at local government were not paid. They were not paid, comrades. They volunteered to see to it that the people in this town must have water, they must have toilets, etc., etc. Mostly those people worked somewhere. Maybe they were teachers, maybe they were church leaders, maybe they were shopkeepers. In their free time, they went to council to hold a meeting, to take a decision on what to do about the roads in the town. And all the money that the people contributed by way of rentals and so on was money that was used to clean the streets, to build the football grounds, etc., etc. That's really how it was. Now, when we came to government,
we decided that no, people that are serving communities at local level must be paid. So the money that used to pay for the roads to be built, the tarred roads to be built, the water to be done, sewage to be taken, and all of that, that money now went into their salaries. And so now if you go into each and every one of the towns of our country, you will not see men and women who are employed to clean the streets of Johannesburg. Now they have started again, Mashaba is trying to do that. But there's no money for it, because the money is going into these huge salaries that those who are elected are earning. If you go into smaller towns like Friede, like Warden, there is nobody cleaning the streets, nothing. So, but something else has also happened. Now there is no funds even to pay the councillors. And so we have run out of money. Sooner or later, we will go back. We will go back to say, people that want to be councillors must be part-time. They must be volunteers who want to serve the people. You can give them a stipend to come to the meeting. You can give them, but they must have their own jobs and they must come here to vote. We vote for them on the basis they want to serve the people. Comrades, we must accept that, that will happen. And then, of course, we'll reduce heavily what we are paying ourselves. You know, yesterday there was this, all of us must have seen, the MEC of the KZN of Education, who's renting a Mercedes for 90,000 rand a month. The question has been raised by the community there, and that's how ultimately it's in the newspapers. But that is the end of it. Those things are going to disappear, comrades, because nobody, there's unemployment, people don't have jobs, and nobody is going to be able to contribute that. Why we have this refusal of people to pay for services which they are not getting anyway is because society is waking up to the serious situation we find ourselves in. So those of us who are here must begin to recognize that reality and must begin to think on how we can begin to introduce a steady readjustment, a readjustment that takes into account the hard realities of our lives. We must, when we say we want to serve the people, when we say we want the conditions of the people improve, we must prioritize them today, not tomorrow. We must begin to do that. And this, Ndate Maage, is very important what Ndate Maage is saying. All these things that we are saying here, when you look what we are saying and you look at what we are in practical terms doing, these things are not being done. They are not happening. And we are not moving in the direction of doing them. So we must think how to do it. Nothing to panic about, but just a steady sobering. And I think we will begin to move in the right direction. I thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to just make that point.
Thanks, Sigit. Just in brief, there are certain issues you may not respond on, which are not in your presentation. Don't pay attention to the reference to the MEC of KZN. Saying that certain issues are not in the report, so in which the chairperson is not privy to. So I will not guide you along those lines. Yeah, I think it's withdrawing that statement, Mr. Albodi. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable Kanyile, we we are done with the first set of draft maps. We are sending them to all the municipalities in the country, and whichever municipality you go to, you'll find that in every municipality there will be a draft ward for that particular municipality. And these draft wards were not done by the MDP alone. We did that with the technical planning guides of the municipality. In some instances, there were councillors who were involved, except to those 23 that I've referred to. In fact, it's one in Mpumalanga, six in Eastern Cape, five in Free State, three in KZN, four in Northern Cape, and four in Western Cape. The officials did not turn up, so we had to put drafts for them, and that is where we have written to them to say they can do particular inputs around that. Now, in terms of the timeline for inputs, the timeline for inputs on ward delimitation is from today until the end of April next year. Then end of April next year, then we'll, remember I said from February to end of April, we'll be doing public participation around those particular draft wards. And then in May, we'll publish for objections. So all the inputs now are just inputs, after which we'll publish for objections, because then you'll find that sometimes your input might not have been taken, then you can say I'm objecting based on those particular principles. The Honorable Member McClover, the issue of JB Mark, I can't really say to you that JB Mark is living up to the objectives of demarcation. And by the way, the objectives of just demarcation in terms of Section 24 are the same objectives of local government in terms of Section 152 of the Constitution. Maybe I wasn't really explicit. From the board, we have started analyzing where we have amalgamated. It's only that we didn't choose the JB Marks. We chose Kakis and Molopo, Liseri and Mangao. The result that came out, maybe Honorable Chair, if the committee agrees, after the consideration of this report by the board, maybe we can share with the members in terms of what is the outcome of our analysis. In those two municipalities, it is showing that indeed all these two that we have done an analysis on, it was just a research that was both quantitative and qualitative, where we have interviewed even people, municipal managers, mayors. They've indicated that, look, if you look at the five key performance areas, some of these things are not working. And Honorable Chair, if I can just zoom a little bit on the KRA on HR matter, you find that if you take Mangaung, it might be a grade 6, and Liseri was a grade 2. So for you to equalize the salaries there, the funding for the new entity does not necessarily bring that, because all the Liseri guys will have to benefit, because you won't have to reduce the salaries of the grade 6 municipalities. Remember, municipalities are graded in terms of the budget that they command. The highest graded municipality was the city of Joburg, it was grade 10. And I think recently it might have been joined by the city of Tshwane. That is why you remember the issue around the mayor of Tshwane increasing the salaries of this. It was because of the grading of that municipality in terms of the amount that they were collecting. So one element of it is not really working. So we are looking at that. But even when we are looking at that, we need to be also bringing the question to ourselves, because demarcation depends on Mtoto will say, I want this area to be redetermined to this particular area. But the subjective element of that application is not relating to the objective elements. I can give you an example. Polokwane write to us, they say they want a status of a metro. Now I engage with the MM, what is it that you want for a metro? Because have you looked at all the issues that are provided for in Section 25 of the Demarcation Act and in Section 2 of the Structures Act? Nothing. You go to all the secondary cities, they want to be a metro. But the motivation is not for the metro to work within the context of it being a conglomeration of things. It's because somebody is saying, in a metro, if you look at how COCTA determines the salaries of municipal managers, you find in a metro, City of Joburg, the municipal manager is supposed to be getting around maximum is 3.5 million, minimum is 2.7. Now, if a person is sitting there and in terms of the analysis of COCTA, it's only 1.5 million, the motivation for this application is different. I saw the same thing in one municipality in KZN. A ward councillor is coming to us, he wants the ward to be moved from one municipality to another. When I did the analysis, because of my experience in COCTA, I realized that no, this guy is in a municipality that is grade 2, and he wants to go to a municipality that is grade 5, and it means that the amount of remuneration that he will get on a grade 5 is higher. So the motivation is not in terms of the criteria for determination. Is something else. So I'm just saying, as the board, sometimes we are allowed to do an initiative on our own, but when the decision is made, it's a decision of the board, irrespective of whether the application came from Mtoto, from so-and-so. So I'm just saying some of these things are reality. The result of this research that we have now is indicating to us that the municipalities that we are creating or entities that we are creating are not living up to the objectives of Section 152 of the Constitution. Honorable Mark, I think you have said a mouthful, but I was sitting here and I said, do I have an answer to Honorable Mark? And I said, I don't. And it's a simple reason that when you were raising this question, I was saying, it might not necessarily be a question of the demarcation board. It's broadly the question that the totality of the local government must answer. Why? Because at the moment I've talked about the legislation that is, it's only the Demarcation Act that is going for amendment. In the proposal that we did the previous years, we have said migrate all the elements that are dealing with demarcation from the Structures Act to the Demarcation Act. But I was made to understand that the review of the amendment of the Structures Act might have happened the previous year. Because this is where the committee might engage in terms of why don't we amend these elements that are in the Structures Act, because practically they are not necessarily implementable. Because if you look at them, in my own view, I said maybe these things are put in a hierarchical order. Because the one that determines more than anything is the norm. That is why it's at the top. Then the rest becomes secondary. So I agree with you, but I really don't have the answer. And I don't want to lie to you and say I have the answer. Lastly, perhaps on the issue of a poor village and a town. Historically, when the demarcation board started in 1999, it was more to say, how do you bring in a redistributive effect? Because you have a town here that is well off, but you have a village here that is not well off. So how do you bring in a redistributive effect where the rural one also get the services that they need to get? Similarly with this one. That is why I was saying when I was answering Honorable Kluver that the criteria for demarcation section 25 has 12 factors. And those 12 factors are treated equally. I was saying to the new board that maybe we might need to review if we are saying certain elements have now been achieved. so that we then say what are the critical elements that we need to consider when we determine, should we consider financial viability or financial sustainability. In the previous era, Honorable Chair, when the issue of one in Malamlele was being dealt with, somebody said you are adding minus one plus minus one and you expect it to be two. It cannot be. Because if you look at the areas that I've mentioned, economically, they are all not there. But if you elevate issues of social cohesion, that area has been together for a long time. There was no issue of saying Malamlele is Tsonga-speaking people and Vuani is Venda-speaking people, because when I was staying in that area, the issue called Vuani was not there. It was called Pugad. So those are some of the things that, in my view, the issue of the town and the poor villages is more a redistributive matter. And for me, it's a matter that we need to be thinking deeper to say how do we deal with that. Honorable Lukuta, I think your comment was more to the committee, and I guess that the committee can also engage with the committee of COPTA, where these matters need to be dealt with, especially in relation to the amendment of the legislation. Some of the things might be amendable, some may still require a lot of work that require to be done. But my parting shot would be that the Demarcations Act might be coming soon into Parliament for the amendment. The committee might want to engage with certain elements that are already there, and perhaps informed by what we have discussed today, there might be other proposals that will be put forward. Yes.
No, thanks. Well, towards, okay, is the pressing matter, Honorable JJ, Honorable Kanye? Can I establish this in hand for?
Okay.
Okay.
Honorable Kanye, Honorable JJ. Chairperson, you see, Mototo is talking about, is saying the opposite of what I said. The question here, you take a poor village, you take a poor village into a town, thinking that you are going to distribute equally, but instead, it gives you the opposite. Because you go to schools, then the quintiles at that poor school is now on a different grade as of the town. Meaning that you might find that the school no more qualifies for free whatever, free food or whatever happens there. So instead you are doing the opposite. Because it's now graded at a higher level. The quintile is a higher quintile, it no more qualifies for one or two things. I was just, by saying that, I was just trying to show that some of the things that we try to implement have got an opposite effect. Instead of helping, you are killing that village because the children no more qualify to have free food at school. I was just saying that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My follow-up question is in connection to the maps that I asked about when can they be expected. I think the response that I have received is that they are ready in today. They will be distributed to the municipalities. But my question was very specific. I wanted to know when are they going to be distributed. Thank you.
I think it's only one question.
The draft maps, as I'm speaking to you now, they are being distributed to all the municipalities because they are still drafts. The committee that deals with that will just sitting on the 20th just to note what the outcome of the process that we have been in has been, and just to note that all these maps are being distributed to all the municipalities. Maybe, Chair, if I can just get the details of the secretary of the committee,
I can just indicate to him in terms of the actual date, because as I was sitting here, they were starting to send to those particular municipalities. We have challenges in certain municipalities because the maps carry a big megabyte. Certain municipalities don't have the IT capability to be able to accept those maps. So you might find that when you go to a particular area or a particular municipality, they are unable to get hold of those maps. So I'll just liaise with Mr. Matonsi so that I can just provide a detailed information around that.
I think it has covered your... thanks, Mr. Sikidi, for a detailed brief on your work. I think we must appreciate the committee, the good work the team is doing since it has been established in 1999. There are also obviously certain challenges that you are facing in the space of work, which I think the committee has noted highly, which will liaise with the COGSTAR in terms of the issues that you have to raise there. And you've noted that the issues which IEC, I think Honorable McGruber has rightly put it, that when you certain issues that IEC refer them to your institution and you refer them to IEC, we'll initiate a joint a brief discussion with both the IEC and yourself, and also with the COGSTAR in terms of the legislation that are going to be to be amended. Well, members, thanks for your contribution to the discussion, and I think we'll, if there were a committee meeting, certain issues will take them for discussion, including areas that need amendments. I think we must also appreciate the work that the members of the committee has inputted. We'll initiate a discussion with the COGSTAR on how we're going to run. Thanks for the attendance, officials. I think our meeting is adjourned.